reading hearing is from the Gospel of John. It's part of the series, Seven Ways to Say I Love You from the Cross. It's been a good day, and I thank Brother Shear for being with us, and I do want to remind you that he's going to stay for a few minutes afterwards and greet us back in the fellowship hall. You all look good.
Amen.
And I think that means you probably survived Valentine's Day. I heard a story about a wife who said she had a dream several days before Valentine's Day. In the dream, she received a beautiful diamond ring. So on Valentine's Day, her husband smiled and said, I have something here for you that's going to help you, and handed her a box. The box was larger than she expected, and she was really surprised when she opened the box and found a book entitled The Meaning of Dreams. The book that holds the words for us today describes a reality and not a dream.
Amen.
This morning we come to the third of the seven final statements that Jesus Christ made from the cross as we continue in this series, Seven Ways to Say I Love You from the Cross. In the first sermon we heard the theme forgiveness. In the second sermon, we heard the theme salvation. Today, in this third sermon, we will hear the words family. It's a family matter.
Amen.
Seven times, Jesus pushed up on his feet, gasping for breath. In each of those moments, he uttered statements that are so profound with meaning and purpose that it would take a lifetime, really, to ponder them. And that's why we're taking 7 weeks to break these down. These seven statements are the famous last words of Jesus. And we all know that words have meaning.
Amen.
Words have power.
Yes.
It's been said that words are more powerful than the sword.
Yes.
Words have the power to heal, and words have the power to wound.
Yes.
Words have the power to give hope, and words have the power to bring despair.
Yes.
Words have the power of peace. Words have the power of destruction. But most importantly, these words are important because these seven sayings have the power to impact our eternity.
Yes, sir.
As the Son of God, as the King of Kings, as the living Lord of Lords, the Son of God, Jesus knew the importance of his words from the cross. And that's why he spoke them. Of all the famous last words that have ever been spoken, there are no words that can ever match the final eternal words that Jesus spoke from the cross. If you will take these final words of Jesus and apply them to your heart, his words will impact your life and your eternity.
Yes.
His words taken into our hearts reveal the kind of life we are called to live as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. These words from the cross you heard from our text for today are the type of scripture that you might hear on Mother's Day, in a Mother's Day sermon. But these final words from the cross of Jesus are more than a hallmark sentiment meant for Mother's Day. Jesus' third statement from the cross was spoken for the sake of 2 people. And yet what Jesus said to them can be applied to the life of every believer and every follower of God.
Amen.
So far in this series, I've been asking you to imagine yourself at the cross.
Yes,
we've even given you crosses for you to carry during this series as a reminder of the power of the cross. Believe it or not, a lot of people don't understand the origins of the cross. You see, crosses are everywhere. They're very popular. They're pretty. But for the most part, the average person is totally ignorant of their purpose. We see a lot of crosses today, and we see them in all sizes. From small enough to hang around a person's neck, to huge crosses that sit atop large cathedrals.
Yeah.
To some people, it's nothing more than a piece of jewelry. A fashion statement you wear around your neck or hang on your rearview mirror. And all kinds of people wear them. From gangster rap stars to religious types. I read of a woman who walked into a local jewelry store looking for a necklace. She said, I'd like a gold cross. The man behind the counter looked over the stock in the display and said, okay, do you want a plain one or you want one with a little man on it? People really don't understand what this cross means. They are just ignorant of what the true meaning of the cross that they wear around their neck is. But for now, Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to let you see through the eyes of Jesus. And what did he see? What do you see? From his viewpoint on the cross, Jesus sees the Roman soldiers. He sees the crowd and the priests who are there to mock him. But most importantly, standing near him, he also sees five people that are dear to his heart.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. He sees just five people. Just five. Where are the others? Where are the ones he called to follow him? Where is Peter who said he would die for him?
Yes,
where is the mother who wanted her sons to sit at his right hand and his left hand? Where are all those who he healed? Where are those whose sight was restored?
Yes.
Where are those who were raised from the dead,
yes,
whose sins were forgiven? He sees only five. He sees only five who have the faith and courage to stand with him at the cross. He sees these five who dare to stand at the cross so close,
yes,
knowing that all their closeness to Jesus could result in their arrest and death.
Mm-hmm.
And that message still speaks to us even today. Look through the eyes of Jesus, and he sees his mother, Mary, his mother's sister, Salome, the mother of James and John. He sees Mary Magdalene, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and he sees his beloved disciple that we assume was John.
Yeah.
These five stood at the cross. These five heard Jesus speak these famous last words. These five experienced the cross of Jesus Christ, but most importantly, these five were there for Jesus. They knew the cost of going to the cross, and yet they went there anyway. Often, when you ask people, how you doing? Especially when they got a little seasoning on their life, the response is, every day above ground is a good day.
Yeah.
Or they might respond, every day out vertical is a good day. Another expression that I've heard is, it's a good day because it's better to be seen than viewed. It's a good day. And here we see five people, and two in particular, who are not having a good day. Throughout history, this day has been come to be known as Good Friday. But rest assured, if you ask Mary and John, they would hardly refer to this day as Good Friday. Mary and John are in the midst of the most painful experience of their lives. Caught up in the moment, they stand at the feet of the cross, wondering how or if they're going to be able to get through this day. How can they get across this gulf of misery that they find themselves immersed in? How will they get through this? Here they stand at the cross with only the assurance that things will never be the same. Jesus, in his words to Mary and John, are forcing them to accept the reality of the situation. Perhaps they did not know then, but would soon find out. The way I first heard it, trouble don't last always.
Amen.
Things for them on this day, and perhaps for you, might not be looking very good on this day. It may be the bills are mounting, and the baby won't stop crying. Could be the job is lousy, and the friends you thought you had turned out not to be so. The car is sputtering, and the warranty just expired. Yeah, things might not be looking so good right now. But even on your bad Friday, there's good news, because it might be Friday, but Sunday's coming.
Yeah.
Sunday's coming, and you're coming out on the other side better, stronger, wiser.
Yeah.
Trouble don't last always.
Yeah.
Stop stressing over the now and believe in the future. Yeah, the job is lousy, but you know what? A better one's on the way.
Yeah.
The car's running bad, but as they say, the fix is in. Somebody walked out of your life, we'll call it a blessing, because they didn't deserve you anyway. And somebody better is looking up your address on a GPS right now. Jesus, in the midst of his pain, looks at those who love him and whom he loves and gives them comfort in knowing this is not the end for them or for him. He placed them in each other's care until he returns. And for those of you who are struggling today, know this. He sees your condition, and he is coming again.
Amen.
There are several very powerful, life-changing messages to speak to us here. First, there's a message that speaks of those who would dare to draw near the cross, even at great cost. And there's also some who won't. You're either following Christ or seeking him, or you are not. We can talk about the cross.
Yes,
we can sing about the cross.
Yes,
you can wear the cross. And you can even put keys on the cross. But to experience the truth and power of the cross, you must go to the cross and stand in the presence of the cross. It is only in the presence of the cross that you hear the ringing hammer as it drives the nails into his flesh. It is only at the cross you can hear the dull thud when the cross is dropped into the hole. Only at the cross can you hear these final words of Jesus. To experience the cross, you have to go to the cross and determine for yourself, who is this man in the middle cross? And that brings us to this life-changing question that comes to us from the cross. Just how close are you willing to get to the cross? How close? We humbly sing songs that speak of kneeling at the cross, about a fountain filled with blood, but just how close are you standing? How close are you willing to get? Are you willing to let the blood from that fountain spill over onto your clothes? Are you willing to face the ridicule and scorn of the world so that you can stand close to the cross? Do you choose to be close to Christ or stand far off and watch from a distance? The choice is yours. And only you can decide just how close you're willing to get to this cross of Jesus Christ. There is danger at the cross, but there is also reward. If you desire to be close to Jesus and his cross, if you desire for your life to have purpose and meaning and fulfillment, then you have to first become his disciple.
Yes.
And a disciple who loves Jesus far above anything or anyone else on this earth. Mm-hmm. And for that to happen, you have to go to the cross. You must see the cross of Jesus Christ and believe with all your heart that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who died for your sins, and then choose to live for him with all your heart and soul. This is the great call of discipleship. Anybody can hide in the back of the crowd. In the far distance, you call themselves a disciple. So again, I'm going to ask you the question. How close do you want to be to Jesus at the cross? There is an answer. It can be as close, or you can be as close as you want to be.
Yeah.
Another message that speaks to us from the cross, and certainly a message that speaks to the world and this generation, is found in verses 23 and 24. Look closely at the soldiers who sit at the very shadow of the cross. These soldiers are closer to Jesus than anybody, and yet they're clueless to what has happened. These soldiers who sit in the shadow of the cross hear every word Jesus spoke. They saw the noonday sun turn to darkness. They saw the breaking of the ground and felt the earth shake like jello. They saw the inscription that proclaimed Jesus as the King of the Jews. They saw all these unique miracles, and yet they were still unmoved as to what they saw and absolutely clueless to what it meant. And here's the point. Like these Roman soldiers, many people in the world gamble their lives away even as they're standing in the shadow of the cross. And they're clueless about the cross and its power to save their eternal souls. The world knows about the cross. The world talks about the cross. The world admits to the cross, but the world acts like they don't know that Jesus was on that cross. There are many who glamorously wear a cross of diamonds around their neck, and yet they're clueless to the true meaning and power of what it is that they're wearing. So don't miss the meaning and power of what that cross means for your life. Listen carefully. It takes more than just being at the cross to get the meaning of the cross. See, the soldiers were there at the cross, and they missed it.
Yes, sir.
The religious leaders were there at the cross, and they missed it.
Yes, sir.
The thoughtless crowd was there at the cross, and they missed it.
Yes,
but there were five who came to the cross, and they got it.
Yeah.
These five stood at the cross and believed. And suddenly, Jesus opens his eyes, and out comes these powerful words of Jesus in this third statement from the cross. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son."
Yeah.
And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." I realize that when you first hear this or read this, you immediately think, this doesn't have anything to do with me. These words are between Jesus and his mother and his friend, but that's only what it looks like when you first read it. See, these words of Jesus reveal a great truth, and purpose for every follower of Christ. Picture in your mind as Jesus' mother and those with her make their way through the crowd to stand near the cross. See her as she watches the soldiers crucify her beloved son.
Yeah, yeah.
As she watches the scene unfold, she remembers the words of Simeon the prophet. And this is part of what he said in Luke. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. You might think that raising the Son of God would produce in your family peace and joy and protection from sorrow. But Simeon the prophet told Mary that her life with Jesus would be a sword piercing her heart to the very depth of her soul.
Yes.
Notice he doesn't say mother, he says woman.
Yeah.
Dear woman. Dear woman, you were the one who gave birth to me.
Yeah.
Dear woman, we have shared DNA. Dear woman, you raised and fed and clothed me. You were there when I first learned to walk and talk and eat. Dear woman, you watched me as I went off to school on my first day. You took me to the synagogue, and annually you took me to the temple. Dear woman, you loved me as a mother, as only a mother can love a son.
Amen.
Your heart is crushed and your spirit is broken. A sword has pierced your heart. But dear woman, you can no longer see me as your son.
Amen.
I have to be so much more.
Yes.
Dear woman, I am not your son now. I am your Savior and your Redeemer. Our relationship has to be different, dear woman. By replacing himself with John, Jesus is basically saying to Mary and to us, don't look at me as a son. Look to me as your Lord.
Yeah.
Mary doesn't get any special privileges because she gave birth to Jesus. She needs to have the same faith in Jesus that everyone else has.
Amen.
Or else she cannot become a part of the family of God. He is saying, woman, look to me as Lord.
Yes.
As your Lord, I can help you get beyond this bad Friday. I can help you get beyond your grief. As your Lord, I can show you how all this is going to end.
Amen.
As your Lord, I can turn your grief for a son into adoration for a Savior.
Yes.
When you see these events in this light and see just how important faith really is, not even Mary has enough good works in her to enable her to be eternally saved. Mary was told her heart would be pierced. Mary's heart was pierced when Herod killed the children of Bethlehem because of Jesus.
Yeah.
Mary's heart was pierced at the whispers about how Jesus was conceived.
Yes,
Mary's heart was pierced when Jesus' brothers rejected him and mocked him. Mary's heart was pierced when Jesus' hometown rejected him and wanted to throw him off a cliff. Finally, at the cross, the sword slices through her heart as she watches Jesus suffer on this cross.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
When Mary lifts her eyes to the cross, she remembers when she would hold him and kiss his brow, and how she was now looking at his brow covered with thorns and blood. She remembers the moment when she held his little hands, the same hands that were now being nailed to the cross for her salvation. She remembers the time when he said to her, "My hour has not yet come." And now she realizes as she sees him struggle on the cross that this is the hour he was speaking of.
Yes.
We see this and we see Mary's sorrow. But what does it mean for us? The first thing that grips my heart regarding Jesus' words is that his words to Mary are words of comfort. And not only are they words meant for her, but for everyone who believes on Jesus as Lord and Savior. In verses 23 and 25, we read that the soldiers divided Jesus' garments among themselves. And then we read that they gambled for his tunic. It was immediately after this that we read that Mary was there at the cross. The scene focuses our attention only to Jesus, Mary, and John now. The scene shifts. She could see the soldiers dividing his garments, and she could hear them gambling for his tunic. The garments meant nothing to Jesus, but the moment they touched the tunic, they were touching his heart because the tunic was a special piece of garment made by a mother for a son.
Yeah.
And this tunic that the soldiers were gambling and quibbling over was made by Mary for Jesus, and it was most likely given to him as he started his earthly ministry.
Yeah.
Jesus knew this, and at this moment, I believe, was the moment when Jesus looked into the eyes of Mary and spoke his famous last words to Mary and John. It's important to note that Jesus here gives us an example of our God-given responsibility to our blood family. It's God's design and purpose that we care for members of our family. It's God's design that we honor our father and our mother. And thanks again, Brother Bashir, for helping us to remember and keep alive the honor and respect that is due his father.
Yeah.
And for all of us, there is that same responsibility. But see him as he looks down at his mother, and with all his strength, pulls himself up. He pushes up on these nails in his feet, and he says, "Woman, behold your son." And then he says to the disciple, "Behold your mother." God knows how messy it can get in a family. Jesus had been to a couple family reunions.
Yeah.
He'd been to a couple of bad funerals. The family Jesus grew up in was not a perfect family. And yet, he did not use that as an excuse. His brothers were not at the cross. They didn't believe in him.
Yeah.
And it was a source of conflict between him and them.
Yeah.
And knowing the sorrow and suffering his mother was experiencing, he says to John, "Behold your mother." And so from that moment, John took Mary, the mother of Jesus, and cared for her as if she was his own mother. If it was so important for Jesus to take care of his mother and his family, how much more is it for us important to care for our earthly families?
Yeah.
But there is also a second meaning that's really beautiful as we look at this. John and Mary are not blood relations. John is not the son of Mary, and yet Jesus gives John the honor to care for Mary. Yeah. On a physical level, Jesus is making sure that his mother is cared for.
Yeah.
And this is very important, but there's a lot more meaning here. Through these powerful words from the cross, not only is Jesus demonstrating the importance of caring for our earthly family, but more importantly, he is demonstrating that when we become members of his kingdom,
amen,
we also become members of his eternal family. And our membership in his eternal family is far greater than any earthly family ties. The moment you choose to believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord, you become a member of his eternal family. Mary and John had one great thing in common. They both loved and believed in Jesus Christ. And because of that, they were more than just friends. They were members of the same family. If you're a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ and you're a member of a great and wonderful family,
yes,
and just how big is your family? Revelation 7:9 gives us a small glimpse. "After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands." Our spiritual and eternal family will consist of people from every race,
yes,
every nation, every language on earth. And just as we have no control over the family we're born into, neither do we have control of the family that we will have in eternity.
Yes.
It's actually God's desire that everyone be a part of his family, his kingdom, and that includes all of us. Today, you and I have the same opportunity that Jesus gave to John at the cross. Remember Mark 3. Then his brothers and his mother came. And standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." But he answered them, saying, "Who is my mother or my brothers?"
Amen.
And he looked around in a circle at all those who were seated about him, and he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." So all who love Jesus Christ, all who seek to do his will, are members of his eternal family. And that means that we all are members of this family, this great family. And so in closing, I want you to hear these final words again from the cross. When Jesus said to John, "Behold your mother," what he's really saying was for John to take care for Jesus' mother until he returned. And so until Jesus returns, let us love one another and care for one another, just as Jesus called John to care for Mary. That is the will of God for our lives as believers in Christ, We are to care for each other, but we know he is not finished because he will rise again.
Yes.
By replacing himself with John, Jesus is demonstrating to us just how significant the body of Christ, the church, really is. Jesus has determined that Mary needs the support that can only be given by one who is in the household of faith. Not necessarily by blood, but one who was in the same household of faith. So Jesus puts Mary in the hands of someone who represents the faith to demonstrate just how important it is to be a part of God's family.
Amen.
We should never underestimate the significance of being a part of the church. It's important. And as a part of the church, you and I have the opportunity and the responsibility to be the answer to somebody else's problem. Yeah, you might be going through something now. You might be coming out of something right now. But all that you are going through, all that you have been through, is not just for you. See, the purpose of your position is for you to help somebody else.
Amen.
What's the point of going through what you went through? What's the point of having the wounds if you never show them to anybody?
Amen.
What's the point of going through the test if you don't give somebody the testimony? Understand and believe you will come out of this not so good Friday experience, but you're not going to come out of it alone. Take the time to be the comfort someone else needs. Be the hook that keeps someone else from going over the edge. Bring somebody back from the brink of self-destruction. Bring somebody back from being the destructor. God has purposely positioned you to be his provision for someone else. When you introduce yourself to that person that you have identified, you can say, my first name is Problem, and my last name is Solver.
Yeah.
We are the family of God, and know for sure being the solution for somebody else is truly a family matter.
Amen.
In this world, we are all being alienated from each other by computers, television,
yeah,
our careers, our business, our paranoia about each other. But we are called to love God, and we are called to love all our neighbors. One of the most beautiful things about Christianity is that it is all about relationships. It's about a transforming and lifelong relationship with God, and it's about being in relationship with others as we worship together, as we learn together, as we serve together, as we reach out to those we don't even know yet, those who are in need. And in this case, John intends for us to understand from Jesus that as his disciples, we are responsible to care for one another, even taking on the role of a parent for a child, or being a brother or a sister to another who needs it. Is there anybody in your life who you're not related to by blood that cares for you in this way? Is there anybody in your life who you're caring for this way? Is there anybody in your life that needs you to be in relationship with them this way? Relationships are about give and take. It takes two. They are not one-sided.
Amen.
Notice in this lesson that Jesus isn't just calling on John to take care of Mary. He's calling on Mary to take care of John too.
Yeah.
For we do find that it's in the taking care of and looking out for another that we find other people caring and looking out for us.
Amen.
This is how healthy marriages work. This is how healthy friendships work. This is how healthy churches work. And healthy churches make for healthy communities. Relationships are key to our lives, and they are the key to Christianity. Both John and Mary model for us the call of Christ on all of our lives, to see those in need as our mother, or our father, or our son, or our daughter. I long for the day when a banner on our wall will say, New Elam cares for kids. That our true worship is not about shouting and singing, but about doing and being.
Yes.
True worship is being present and available to a hurting world, and evidencing belief in a Savior that compels us to love others.
Amen.
The love of Christ is the one thing we all need.
Yeah.
We need to experience it through receiving it from others, but we also need to experience it by offering to others as family.
Amen.
Because it is, in fact, a family matter.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we ask you to open our hearts to hear your word and pray that they might have some impact on our lives today. The sacrifice that you made affects our very being today and affects our very being for all of eternity. But you've also given us the opportunity to be effective in the life of someone else. To be not just the hands and feet, but to be the mother and the son, and the brother and the sister. There's a lot of loneliness. We see it. We feel it. We know it. But we have the opportunity to respond to it. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let us not back away from the cross. Let us not be in the crowd ignoring what it is that you've done for us.
Yes.
Let us take your words into our hearts. And this day, be family for all who need family.
Amen.
Those in the church are open. Pray that there's one who would like to join with us today, fellowship. We would love to have an opportunity to be with you. Have you come to be with us? Will you stand down and quiet sins?